day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode from MuseTech.net. Today we have an exciting show. We have a guest with us from the Naxos Music Library. We'll be introducing him in a little bit. For now, I'm Joe Pisano, and I'm here with my trusty broadcast engineer friend, Darren Morton.
Did you say trusty or chesty?
Either way, works for me. Right? So we're here, and we're going to talk a little bit today about online music, and we're going to talk about the Naxos Music Library, which is a service that anyone can really get, but I know educators are really excited about it. They have a huge library that you can listen to virtually almost any genre or subgenre of classical or even related. They have jazz labels as well online for really not all that much money to have access to, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of, if not more, tracks of music. And today we have a special guest. His name is Randall Foster. He is the licensing and service manager from Naxos and NaxosMusicLibrary.com. He is a music licensing expert and professional that we're going to bring on, and we're going to invite him to say hello here and tell us a little bit about yourself. Randall, what do you prefer?
It depends on how well you know me. Joe, you can call me Randy.
Darren, you'll have to call him Randall, okay?
Okay, I'll call you Randall.
Yeah, that works. So I am the licensing manager for Naxos. One of my duties in doing that is managing and overseeing the North American development and sales of a resource we have called the Naxos Music Library, which is an online listening resource built specifically for the educational environment.
So now North America, so that you basically, that's a pretty big area to cover. You include Canada and Mexico as well in that, or no?
Well, Joe, I'm a pretty big guy. We have a great sales team up in Canada, and we have a network of resellers that we work with throughout all of the territories, be it all the way across the U.S., in Latin America, and in Canada at the same time.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about, I know you're classically oriented, but you also have a number of other music genres on there. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a list of what's available to people that use your service?
Absolutely. We're predominantly classical, being that we are the world's leading classical record label. The collection is based with our recordings, and it initially launched with all of the Naxos library in there. Since then, we've gone and licensed materials from many other labels. Genre-wise, we represent the whole of the classical world, including band music and opera music, quite a bit of world and folk music, a good selection of jazz music as well. What you could really say is any of the studied musics are represented there.
Okay. With the world and folk music, I have never ran into that on your library. Is it pretty representative of, you have almost every country represented there?
Well, we have a good deal of them, and actually it's cataloged by country. So, for instance, if you're in an ethno class and you're trying to learn about the music of Cambodia, you go and you search by Cambodia.
Darren was just looking into that music the other day. Weren't you looking?
Yes, I was.
Cambodian
yes,
waltzes,
I was looking for
it?
Cambodian waltzes.
That's right.
Well, it is very exciting, I know. many nationalities are represented there. We have quite a bit of representation for the Far East. Our company, most people don't know this, our company is based in Hong Kong, and so a lot of our early relationships with record labels and musicians and other folks were based on Asian labels and Asian performing groups, and so we have a great deal of Chinese music. And a wonderful collection of Indonesian gamelan and
gamelan, yeah,
African music and everything in between.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I've had a couple ethnomusicology classes at the doctoral level, and I can tell you, I wish that they had a service like this, because we had to literally go down to the archives in the library and pull off of LPs and cassettes or whatever was out there. And literally, it would take us to make a compiled study guide for that. It would take us hours on end just to get the music. To be able to study from, where this, you could just basically make a playlist, pull it up, the professors can go in, right? And they can make
Absolutely.
Playlists and make everything convenient for the students.
Yeah, actually, you know, and that was the most exciting thing for me when I started with the company, is I thought, man, if I'd had something like this when I was taking all those music history courses, life would have been way easier. You know, there are a number of perks to it. You know, those $200 CD sets, you know, are rather expensive mm-hmm. for the students to buy, and this is a legal way for all of the students to get their hands on a great deal of music, you know, that all of which is covered in one way, shape, or form through the study of music history.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it would have been invaluable in more ways than not. One of the things for me, though, I keep coming back to that ethnomusicology class. It was unbelievable how much music we had to find or he had recorded on some recorder when he was somewhere. And, you know, we had to listen to this stuff. But to have access to that in that type of way, that convenience of that, it just makes something like this amazing. We're talking to Randall Foster here from NaxosMusicLibrary.com. And we're talking a little bit more here about what's going on with the classical library. Can you tell us a little bit about the quality of the streaming files that Naxos offers?
Well, our standard subscription is at 64K. It's a very good sound and it works well over most broadband connections. We do have a dialed down connection of 32K that's an optional thing for subscribers. Now this is for the worst case scenario when you've got someone on a dial up account or someone on a very slow internet, that is suffering horrible buffering.
Yeah, certainly understandable.
And then, of course, we also offer a premium service at 128K. That's really just a wonderful, pristine sound.
Now, you know, one of the nice things is believe it or not, Darren and I talk about this all the time, that still almost half of the people that connect to the internet are using modems and using dial-up modems,
yep.
which it may have been surpassed this past year. I'm not exactly sure, but it's still very close. And
yeah.
And you're able to provide a lower bit rate for people that do have the 56.6 modems or something like that with that connection.
Absolutely, and that was an important design feature when we started out. Is I mean, you consider when we started back in 2004 with the music library, even more people were still using dial-up. And so, you know, while it does represent only a portion of the population, I still feel, and we still feel, that it's a portion of the population that still deserves to hear great music.
Absolutely.
And so we've made it available to them via that 32K stream.
Your ideal client is an academic base? Are you trying to reach individual fans, or are you looking at, say, box societies? Who do you see as your ideal client?
Well, that's a pretty broad question. Our ideal client is anyone who appreciates and loves good music. For the Naxos Music Library as it stands, we have had the most success in higher education. We've really taken off. We're in over 600 institutions across North America alone, and it's utilized in over 28 different countries. We are branching out into looking at other demographics as far as our users go, including but not limited to the use of symphony orchestras, K-12. We're really interested in moving into the K-12 world and trying to help bring this music at an affordable price to band directors and orchestra teachers throughout the U.S.
You know, you were talking about bands and orchestra directors. One of the things that I think is really, really awesome that's going on with Naxos right now is that they are trying to actively increasing the wind literature, the wind band literature, and as well as the concert band literature that's online. There's not a whole lot of people that are stocking those recordings, and you all have made an initiative to start introducing the wind ensemble literature to your archives. Is that true?
Absolutely, absolutely. As a consummate band nerd, I have a great appreciation of that music. And so when I came on board here, the first thing I noticed, what we try to do is look at holes in the catalog. That was a gaping hole in the catalog. You know, we have many great orchestral recordings, but we didn't have, you know, the great old war horses of Windlet. And so what we've done, in addition to going and seeking out other record labels that do produce that those recordings, we've actually started our own imprint here at Naxos, our own sub-label, if you will, dedicated to the music of the wind band. It's called Naxos Wind Band Classics, and it's been hugely successful for us, and it's been a great initiative on our side. In addition to that, we've also gone out and licensed the music from such as Albany, Clavier, you know, folks that really are doing a lot in that vein and have a lot of dedication to the band world.
One of the things that really offers, especially for the music directors and the band directors, is the ability for the students to go out online and hear some of the top bands, the top performing wind ensembles perform this literature. It's very hard to find, especially, like you said, some of the old war horses. There's hundreds, literally hundreds and thousands of bands that have recorded these things, but they're all locked in some university or some college or some high school's archive. And they're just not available for us to hear. And from a teaching perspective, this is a really big move that you guys have done that I hope continues to grow and continues to be successful for you. And I'd like to get the word out about that, because I am constantly being asked as a wind director for recordings of songs that we've done with the college, so that people can get an idea. Some of the publishers now are putting these type of things out. When they produce some of the newer songs or the newer compositions that you can buy, but the old literature, you know, unless you can get a hold of some of the Army band or the Marine band or those type of recordings, there really isn't an easy way to get it. And you guys are now providing that for anyone that has access to your library. How large is that right now, your wind recordings?
Well, like I said, it's a new initiative, and so it's just off the ground. We're just at around a dozen releases at this point.
Well, I knew it was new, and I wanted to talk about that. And I know you're actively looking for premier bands to possibly even join you. Is that true? How are you guys seeking labels? How does that work as your licensing expert that you are? How do you do that? What's that process?
Well, in this role, I have to take off my licensing hat and put on my label manager hat.
Okay, A&R guy.
I actually head up the wind band label for
okay.
us. The ensembles we're seeking and working with are top notch college, semi pro, professional, and military ensembles.
Well, yeah, certainly can't do any better than the military ensembles.
You really can't, and you know, especially you know, the Washington groups are just top-notch, and they've been wonderful to work with, and we have several recordings out by the President's own United States Marine Band that are compilations that I have put together based on their previous recordings that have been just wonderful collections, and it's been kind of an old wine and new bottles situation where we're taking existing recordings that are not available to the masses and re-releasing those and bringing them to the forefront and making those recordings available again. As far as the collegiate groups we work with, you know, we work with some of the very best in the field, and we have recordings from the University of Miami, Ohio State University, Peabody Conservatory, University of Kansas. You know, we have upcoming recordings coming from the University of Georgia, the University of Missouri, Youngstown State University. These are all really good ensembles.
Absolutely.
And they all have their own specialties and their own niches. You know, we have groups that really feature brand new recordings of brand new music and that are very much into, you know, the John Mackeys and Carter Pans of today. At the same time, we also have groups that are a bit more on the symphonic side and have that appreciation for the folks that came before John and Carter and are doing Holst and are doing you know, the Sousa marches and things like that, because you know, the way I look at it is there's a very broad spectrum of wind recordings.
Absolutely.
And you can't just niche yourself into only contemporary works or only marches and traditional works. I think a nice, even representation across the board is the best thing to do there.
Well, what I'd like to know is when are you getting the marching band label? Is that part of this? Because there are some guys, I mean, think about it, you know, I mean, Payload, Boogie Down. I mean, come on, these are everyone wants to hear these things. And, there and are band geeks around the world that would just flock to this.
Of course, the infamous Grover Shuffle.
Yeah, that's right, the Grover Shuffle. I mean, this is you know, I'm not kidding. I would listen to that stuff. I'd be excited, man, you know. Pull out the old pep band stuff. I'm excited about that kind of stuff. You know, you certainly talked about the Sousa and the Carl King and those type of marches, and those really are the roots of the wind ensemble literature, and we certainly can't forget that. Sounds like you have quite a bit of a musical history background. What's your background, Randy?
Well, my background, I'm the son of a band director, which means I've had to study music history for 30 years, whether I wanted to or not.
30 years.
I spent some time in a music education program, and then decided that the business was a little bit more my flavor, and so I actually, after completing a liberal arts degree at the University of Kansas, I attended the University of Miami and got a master's degree in music business and entertainment industries. While at Miami, I was also a teaching assistant with the marching band and ran the basketball band.
All right, we're talking to Randall Foster from the NaxosMusicLibrary.com. He just gave us a little bit of an overview of some of the great new things that they're offering and some of the new ventures, label ventures that they're pulling into. And we want to kind of just a little bit more summarize a little bit about what's going on with the library, some of the exciting functions that, of course, as an insider, you know, maybe where some of the new technology moves are going with the company. And we want to talk a little bit about some of the different ways that people can purchase this. I know that libraries can purchase this, school libraries, community libraries, college libraries, but you also offer individual purchasing options as well. Can you tell us a little bit about how someone can get onto your site and experience it? I know you also offer a trial. How does all that work?
Absolutely. Well, for the individual, all you need is a computer with a browser and, at this point, Windows Media Player. You can go to www.naxosmusiclibrary.com, and any individual can get on and try and have a 15-minute trial to run through the various features and sample some music. Individuals can sign up direct from the site. It's just your typical e-commerce credit card transaction. Beyond that, universities, group purchases, things like that actually come directly through me. You can email me directly at rfoster@naxosusa.com. And I'd be happy to answer anyone's questions and send information on to anyone who's interested in a group purchase. Be that for your high school, your school district, your college, your church choir, etc.
Moving into the future, Randall, what kind of organizations and what kind of groups do you see Naxos partnering with to move the organization and move Naxos forward?
Well, we've partnered with a number of library organizations, and we feel that we, in order to be functional in the music library world, we have to be functional in the overall library world. And so we're working currently with companies such as ProQuest, which is a database company that has a database called the International Index of Music Periodicals. And it's a wonderful collection of music periodicals. And what we're doing actually with them right now is we're currently cross-linking between the two databases. Oh. So that as you study, if you're going through the index and you find a periodical with an article on wow. Beethoven, for instance, you'll be able to click a hyperlink that'll take you to the Naxos Music Library Beethoven page.
That sounds like an amazing initiative. I can't imagine the manpower, if you will, as it would take to go through that. How much have you progressed in that already?
Well, at this point, all of the major composers, by major, I mean roughly 80% of the composers that are represented in the Naxos Music Library are linked to. The new initiatives with that company include linking over on a works basis rather than a composer's basis. So instead of taking you to a general composer's page, if you're studying, you know, the Pastoral Symphony, clicking on the link there would actually take you directly to the symphony recording.
Wow.
And so that's quite an undertaking, and we're working on that currently. We're also going to do a links page or a direct link over to the artist's page. And so those are the two current initiatives with that company. Other companies like that we have teamed up with include Freehand Systems, the parent company for freehandmusic.com, which is the world's leading sheet music download site. Freehand is the company that introduced everyone to the MusicPad Pro, which is that LCD touchscreen digital sheet music stand device that has kind of been sweeping the nation. Anyhow, with Freehand, we're doing the same thing. We're linking over between works. We've also devised a library subscription to the Freehand collection. That's also available through me, through the same contact info I said before. And so it's a wonderful system. To check that out, you can go to freehandmusic.com, and then there's a link to the library subscriptions, or if you want to go directly, it would be freehandmusic.com/biblionet, B-I-B-L-I-O-N-E-T.
You know, I was, Naxos offers just a Naxos, not the Naxos Music Library, but just a tremendous amount of literature out there. And one of the amazing things about this is the linking between the two, right? I mean, you guys, everything offered by Naxos now is pointing to your library, right?
Well, yes and no. We have a number of web properties that we've put on the web. The Naxos.com is, of course, our website. It is the end-all, be-all for all of the Naxos recordings and many of the labels that we distribute. It generally points to all of our other services, whether it be the Naxos Music Library. We also have Naxos Web Radio. We also have wonderful collection of spoken word texts that we've released on CD, an audiobook label, if you will, called Naxos Audiobooks.
That
has an online property, actually two of them, one of which is NaxosSpokenWordLibrary.com, which is a streaming audiobook collection, just like the music library is a streaming music collection. And then their homepage is actually NaxosAudiobooks.com. And there are a number of wonderful biographies of composers and things that actually tie the audio in with the music quite well. And then we also have just launched a new initiative called Classics Online, which is basically our online digital music store, and it has been a wonderful endeavor on our side, and it's given us a chance to offer up all of our great downloads to customers worldwide.
Well, we're going to have to start wrapping things up, and we've been speaking with Randall Foster from the NaxosMusicLibrary.com. We've been talking about streaming. We've been talking about the availability, the different genres of music, all the things that the Classical Music Library offers to educators and individuals as well. Just such a great benefit for anyone, especially if you're studying these type of things. And we wanted to give you the last word in the podcast. So, Randy, what do you have to say?
Well, the Naxos Music Library is the world's leading streaming audio database for classical, world, folk, jazz music. Basically, all the studied musics are represented there, and it's an affordable yearly subscription that can be had on an individual or an institutional basis. And so also, something else to note that you forgot to say, Joe, was that in your 100 Music Educators blogging campaign, everyone who starts a new blog with you this year will get a free access code that will actually give them access to the Naxos Music Library free of charge until the start of 2009.
See, that's the humbleness of me there. You know, I'm eating humble pie there. I'm so excited that you guys are coming online, and I just think it's just such a great thing that you're doing for the music education bloggers. We've been trying since January 1st to get 100 music educators blogging by 2009, and we're already up to 36. And I think we're going to meet that goal. And one of the great things that Naxos has decided to support us with is that anyone that is a MeBlogger current and up to that 100, they're going to give a free subscription between the time they sign up until 2009, January, to check out their program. And it's just such an incredible gift that you're offering. And I really hope, one of my hopes for this is that music educators are out there. We have people teaching elementary. We have people teaching secondary, even higher ed. But we actually have people from a multitude of different countries right now. And I really hope that they're going to be able to see through this great joint venture between MuseTech.net and Naxos, this gift that you're giving them, the sheer utility and the sheer usefulness of such a program that you guys are offering out there. Just the wealth of recorded information can be integrated so easily into the classroom teaching, and I really thank you guys for doing that.
Well, we're glad to be a part of it. We think what you're doing is important, and we're glad to see the progress. I mean, up in the 30s, I mean, that, you know, it's only been 3 months, Joe.
Well, I know. I'm excited. And I have another 10 people right now that have just contacted me. So we're gonna be moving that on. To be honest, Darren and I were talking about this early on, and I kept thinking, boy, I hope we get 50. I hope we get 50. But, you know, we're pushing it really hard because I really feel that that it is something that music educators need to be aware of. And more importantly, I think it's something that we as music educators need to be able to have a platform to get our information about our profession and what we do out to everyone else, because we are the experts in the field, and we need to start filling that field up with expert information and not just simply someone's opinion. So that's where we're at. Well, Darren, would you like to close us out, please?
I think I can certainly do that. Randall, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your company and your incredible generosity through MuseTech. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, thank you, guys.
And for MuseTech.net, I'm Darren Morton.
And I'm Joe Pizzano.
Hey, have a good day.
All right.